Thanks everybody for being here today for this Destination Wedding and Honeymoon Specialist Association certification program, our certified Destination Wedding Ceremony Planner program that we do every fall. Thank you for those of you live today. Thanks again for hanging with us while we're fixing some technical things. Now, I'm really proud to introduce our speaker today because many of you know Lisa, of course. Lisa Sheldon is the co-founder of DWHSA, dating all the way back well before we started in 2013. Lisa organized the Facebook group that we're all part of now that was really the precursor for the association. And she has done tons of training over the years with Destination Weddings. She's done many Destination Weddings over the years. She's spoken at lots of conferences about this topic. She knows this inside and out. So Lisa, thank you for doing this for us, and we'll let you get started.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. Great to be here with you. Even though I'm somewhat retired from the travel industry, it's, you know, when you do something for 34 years, it doesn't escape you too fast. So, and of course, DWHSA is just part of my heart, and John, this is a fun program to present. So, I'm ready.
Hang on there, Lisa, just a second here. Lisa, I know this is weird, but on a separate screen, like if you minimize your Zoom screen, don't X out of it, but if you minimize it, can you bring up your slide file on your computer screen separate
I
from Zoom?
Should be able to. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Can you see?
I know this will be weird, but I don't think this is our issue. I think Zoom is having some trouble here today. So,
okay.
Can you
see my screen?
No, but if you can just talk looking at your slides yourself.
Okay.
And what I'll do later is I'll go into Camtasia, our video editor, and I'll match up the slides with your audio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry for the trouble.
That's okay.
Guys, again, thanks for hanging in with us here.
Okay. Well, I've got...
So just to explain for you agents who are on with us, I'm so sorry, but you will not see the slide changing because Zoom, I did just now get an error message from Zoom. They're having some system trouble. So we're not stopping, though. We're going to record this today because everybody's busy. But so you will not see the slide change. You will hear Lisa, and then the video tonight will have the slides matched up with her voice. All right. You can go when you're ready.
All right, well, let's get started. Let's talk about being involved with the actual ceremony planning. Now, once your couple meets with you, obviously the date, time, and location is pretty much where you start. And so, you know, whether they're getting married in a, you know, Caribbean or Mexican destination, or if they want to get married in their parents' backyard in Lake Tahoe, it, you know, you're still going to need that type of information. And so most destination weddings basically are based on when and where the ceremony is held. So whether you are working with a wedding coordinator at the resort or a cruise line wedding department, or if you're going to be doing a lot of the ceremony planning yourself, I did that as a wedding officiant. I became an officiant, and I've done over 200 weddings. I've not married anybody internationally, but here locally, I have. And when I would meet with my clients, that was a huge part of the first conversation that we did. And so, whether or not you're going to be, like I said, doing part of the wedding or the wedding planning, or you're sharing it with a wedding coordinator. So, for example, because I know most of us do weddings in the Caribbean and Mexico, and you find out who you're going to be working with in the wedding department, obviously you're going to need to check for the dates that a cus you know that that your client has, and you want to make sure. And most likely the wedding department will let you know if the date conflicts with any local, national, or religious holiday that's being held in that country. And of course, the type of ceremony. Is it going to be symbolic? Is it going to be a religious ceremony? Or is it going to be a legal or civil ceremony? And who performs the ceremony? Now, if it's a legal or civil ceremony, the judge or a representative from the judge's office or the justice of the peace will perform the ceremony. If it's symbolic, it can be, a family member or friend. It can be someone from the wedding department. And if it's religious, obviously it's a priest or a minister. And then looking at the wedding package, and that always includes the ceremony. Obviously, you want to have the focus mainly on that because that's why they're getting married, and the ceremony. But the destination certainly helps, being on a beach or in the rainforest or wherever they choose to get married. You don't always have to reserve the wedding location right away. They may have several locations at the resort. It could be a beach gazebo, it could be a garden, it could be a rooftop, that type of thing. You might not have to pick the specific place. Checking for what times are available. Some resorts do one wedding a day, three weddings a day, or eight weddings a day. And one of the reasons, by not only checking the time, but, is the weather suitable? If you're thinking of, 1 o'clock in the afternoon in August in Cancun, it might be a little warm. But you also want to consider if they want sunset videos, or photos, consider the natural lighting for photos. And that's a great reason to utilize one of those photographers that are from the destination. They know those things. They know what the prime time is mid-January or, late in July, for the best lighting for photos. So once you've decided with the couple on the wedding date and the time and the location, or as far as the destination, get that copy of the wedding contract and read it thoroughly yourself. Have the couples, read it. Ask if they have any questions. You may have to go back to the wedding coordinator and ask them about it. Once the clients sign it, they've met the deposit requirements, then get that signed contract back to the wedding coordinator. Scan and forward any payment information you may need to get to the wedding department. Once you get that confirmed piece of paper saying, that the wedding for this particular couple is going to be held on this date and time, then get that back to the couple. Forward it via email, but I always print it out and send it to the couple. Now, you are the conduit between the wedding couple and the venue, the wedding department that you're working with. And so you want to make sure that if you're not doing any of the actual wedding planning with the reception details, flowers, that type of thing, you still want to stay in the loop. So ask your bride or groom to keep you on the email chain and follow the timeline that the resort provides you. They may not be getting married until October of next year, but you know what? At Tuesday night at 9:30, she's going to email five questions that she needs answers to right away, and that might some of the answers might not even be available for that time. So just keep your clients, calm. Say it's a process. They're working with couples that are getting married within the next 2 weeks. So teach them to put a list of questions together. Don't just have her send an email that says, can I get Gerber daisies for my bridal bouquet? And then 3 days later, she's coming up with, well, if we don't want to be married on the beach, can we change it to the rooftop terrace? Get them to put a list of questions together. And because all wedding coordinators, they don't just sit at their computer waiting, to read emails from the couples. They're out doing the weddings with the couples that are on property at that point. So once you're, you've kind of got that flow started, for the hotel. Now, one thing we know, it rains in the Caribbean and Mexico and in the tropics and in Wyoming. It doesn't matter. There's always a chance that it could rain depending upon the time of year. So we know hurricane season's June 1st to December 1st. And while pricing may be better, there's always a risk of weather. And you need to inform the clients of that. Plan B is what happens when there is inclement weather. So it's always important to ask the wedding department, what are the options? Do they have pictures of the ballroom space? If you're touring the property, always ask them, what's plan B? What happens if it rains? Can we see the ballroom? Can we see the grand staircase? And take photos of it. And if you're not down there, ask them for photos. And what's the cutoff time for moving the ceremony and events indoors in case of rain? They look at the weather map, there's a big green blob coming. Is it moving really fast, or could they quick get the wedding ceremony done and then move indoors? So those are important things to remember. Now, when things don't go as planned, handling issues with professionalism, thoroughness, and calm is important. And one of the reasons clients work with you is because you're there to handle things when issues arise. And it can be, weather related. It's going to rain on her wedding day. Or it could be that a couple of the groomsmen got, a little inebriated at the bachelor party and they, ended up a night in jail. It's happened. So I know this, it's not a perfect world. So, but cooler heads prevail. The emotional level is so much higher on these romance travel trips. It's their wedding. And because it's spread out over, a few days, it gives you lots more opportunities for things that could go awry. So not only is communication the key, but also the fact that you have great contacts in the destination so that it can help you through. What if there was a situation where the gentleman with the white horse for an Indian wedding could not get there. His trailer broke down. He's stranded on the highway, and they had no way for the groom to come in for the barat. So, things happen. What happens if the judge is sick or can't make it, or they don't have anybody that they can send? Well, you can get ordained online if you want to. You may need to check with local authorities the requirements to perform ceremonies, check with the wedding coordinator and ask her, hey, can I jump in if you're traveling with the group? That's always a possibility. Then, you have to decide, they've obviously decided what type of ceremony it's going to be, and we'll talk a little bit about that. For example, in Mexico, there's three types: the civil ceremony, which is legally recognized in Mexico, and that wedding then, through a bunch of paperwork, could be sent to the US, and it could also, be proof positive that they did in fact get married and that they would be legally married in the US. Now, a symbolic ceremony, which a good portion of the weddings is what they are, it's having a full wedding, but it's not legal. Most guests decide on a symbolic ceremony, get married back home or after the wedding. And that's where I did a lot of my wedding ceremonies. I offered to marry the couple before they left on their destination wedding trip as part of my services. So that right there probably saved them. I guess if they go to the courthouse where I live, it's like $225 to do. Well, I did it at no cost because they were booking their wedding through me. And for the symbolic ceremony, the guests really don't know the difference. They usually have a wedding certificate that's non-legal that the couple can sign and for pictures and things like that. And then there's the religious ceremony. And while it's similar to the symbolic ceremonies, they're not recognized in Mexico. So Catholic, Jewish, Hindu, Sikh weddings, they do it all. The priest or the rabbi take care of the ceremony itself. And couples who can, to choose to do a civil ceremony in Mexico and then maybe a religious ceremony at home. If they are, bent on, getting married in a destination, but for family reasons, they still need to have a wedding back home. They can do that too, because for a church ceremony, the wedding certificate is what makes it legal. And just a pastor performing a wedding ceremony, that doesn't mean that they're, legally married. It's once he signs the wedding certificate and it gets filed with their local courthouse, then it's official. Now, a lot of times, especially like in Mexico, there are certain forms that are needed in order to just get married, even with just a symbolic ceremony. They're going to need passports, birth certificates sometimes, and especially for legal ceremonies or religious ceremonies, they have to have them apostilled and translated to Spanish. Apostilled means that it is verified as a legal document. The forms, of course, wedding coordinators will probably have these, or they get them from their local municipality for where the wedding is going to be held. In Mexico, blood tests are required. Sometimes in certain states in Mexico, chest x-rays are also needed. And for like a Catholic wedding, the couple needs to provide both birth certificates, confirmation certificates, if and if they've been divorced or widowed, they also have to provide a copy of the spouse's death certificate or their divorce decree. So the symbolic ceremony, while isn't legal, it pretty much can be officiated or performed by anyone, a family friend or family member, a local officiant. It could be religious or non-religious, as long as it's allowed. You just need to find out. Some people have said, well, for just a ceremony, it's okay. But if you retire and go down to Mexico, and you're performing several weddings, a week, then that's a problem because then you probably need to get a work permit. Guests don't know any different. The ceremonial certificate is signed. Symbolic weddings certainly are less expensive than a legal ceremony. And again, they often choose to be married before they actually depart for the trip. There's no paperwork really, no translation, waiting, months for the documents to come back from the Mexican or Jamaican government, that type of thing. Now, religious ceremonies focus on uniting the couple while following the beliefs and the traditions of their religion. And if you follow a certain faith, you might want your church or congregation to recognize, the marriage. So some require a civil ceremony before to make the wedding legal, but most of the time, religious ceremonies have their own standards. And as like Catholic weddings or Hindu and Sikh, and if the ceremony takes place on a sacred place of worship, there's rules to be followed. If it's a consecrated chapel, for example, it needs to have three sides. And the options to personalize the wedding might be for your couple might be limited. So this is a picture of one of the chapels in Cancun. It is three-sided, and this is often used for Catholic ceremonies. And because of canon law, it is a sacrament for the Catholic Church. You can always check with the Vatican website listed here, check with their local priest, that type of thing. But in a nutshell, if they are getting married in a destination by a Catholic priest, they will probably have to complete they call it a prenuptial investigation or a pre-cana course, and it is required usually 1 to 2 months before the marriage, sometimes earlier than that. And the interview is basically to discuss the bride and groom's readiness for marriage and any necessary preparations that need to be done. Maybe they're tracing a birth certificate because he was adopted or things like that. Catholic ceremonies also need to be on consecrated grounds, which means that they will not be able to host the ceremony on the beach or an other non-consecrated location. And like I said, a chapel or a church has to have at least three walls. So again, destination requirements are different for every location. Check with the local wedding coordinator. A lot of times the tour operators have a list of what's required in each destination, and then make sure that your couple knows all the information that's needed. And don't do this 2 months before the wedding. Start having them get their information together ahead of time. If their passports need to be renewed but she doesn't want to renew it till after she gets married, and she's not going to have 6 months validity on it. Express the need for the urgency of getting that done. Because if the destination requires 6 months of validity on it when they arrive, then she's going to have to do it and file for a name change later. Civil and legal ceremonies, you can verify with the wedding department, the country's embassy or tourism board. Mexico, for example, has this particular website that has a lot of information on it. Symbolic ceremonies, again, aren't legal and they will not be recognized in the United States. But the civil or legal ceremonies are. And some hotel and wedding departments will take care of the processing of the legal paperwork. Obviously, there are additional fees, and if things need to be translated. I have worked with a lot of different destinations and resorts. There is a great company. She used to work at, I believe it was the embassy for the Dominican Republic, and she started a company called We Do, and the website wedo.com.do is a great website that will help you. They will do the paperwork for you, send it to the resort, have things translated if needed, and that type of thing. I don't know if there's one for Mexico, though. In some countries, the documents have to be in the native language and then, of course, translated to English. An apostille is an official document to verify that it was translated from English to Spanish. Filling paperwork out in the country of marriage. It can take months. So I know some destinations, if you pay an extra fee, they'll rush it along a little bit. But you can't change, or the couple can't change names or social security, insurance, banking information, really without any of that official documentation. Destinations often require, the health checks, the blood tests, x-rays, and those again are also additional costs to the couple. So we've talked a broad overview of ceremonies, but then you get into the interfaith weddings. Maybe he's Protestant, she's Jewish. This picture is of Rabbi Steve down in Cancun. And he was very, popular with a lot of the wedding couples. And he often performed a lot of the Jewish weddings. Then, of course, the South Asian weddings. And that covers a broad umbrella of Hindu and Sikh, Islam, Buddhism, and Muslim. And they all have different ceremonies and different requirements and different customs, and just even like the Hindu and Sikh, there's categories under those for different things that happen with weddings. But the traditions and ceremonies vary based on religion and the region. And they are known for their multiple ceremonies, the color, their tradition, the food, the music, and focused all around family and their multi-day events. So, if anybody had the opportunity to do the South Asian wedding training, you learned a lot about this. Brenda is the expert, and Bernardo is the Hindu priest down there. I don't know if you got a chance to, meet with him, but you had maybe some mendi done, and you got to see, the food. A lot of resorts are catering to that. There's also some Indian restaurants now in Cancun, so they realize it's big business because not only are they multi-day events, but they're usually pretty huge. It's not unusual to have 200 or 300 guests coming to a South Asian wedding. The family save their entire childhood, usually for their daughter, for the wedding. Now, dowries are outlawed, but the weddings and events are still very extravagant, and it can be a melding of cultures as well. My friend Vincent Van Berg, a wedding photographer, posted some photos on Facebook from Pishan Photo, and it was beautiful because you can see the two different families and the two, their traditions and how they came together for this incredible wedding. And it's just so fun to see. If you ever get to witness one, they're amazing. Now, if you're going to help your couples with their actual ceremony planning, rather than just go by what the resort says, this is our format for the ceremony. This is one that I have used for a lot of my weddings. The processional, and are the bridesmaids walking in alone? Are they walking in with the groomsmen? If there's ring bearers and flower girls, do they come in? Maybe sometimes the bride and groom have small children and they want them to walk in the bride. Cute little signs usually say, "Hey, Daddy, here comes, Mommy," and that type of thing. Or if maybe, someone special, her dad, her mom and dad, any of the, another family member, who presents this bride for marriage. I would always do a welcome to everyone. I always ask my couples, and honest, let me back up. A little question that they always seem to like, one of the first things before they even hire me, when they contact me, if I could do a wedding on a particular day, they always say, "Well, we're not religious. Are your ceremonies religious?" And I always ask them, define religious. It could be, "Well, we don't want any mention of God." Okay. Others say, "We're fine. We just don't want scripture readings or that type of thing." Okay. Then is a prayer okay? A welcoming prayer or an ending prayer? Yeah, that's fine because grandma and grandpa are going to be there. And, if you don't mention God in the ceremony, they won't think we're really married. Now's a great time for a special reading, a poem, maybe, a song lyrics, an excerpt from a book. I've had people do all kinds of things. And then that's when I would do my wedding message or the homily, or it's not a sermon, but just talk about marriage, what they're, doing by blending their lives, that type of thing. And then time for the wedding vows. If they write their own, if they found them online and want to read them, they can. Whatever. It's whatever they want to do. Are they nervous? Are they afraid they aren't going to be able to memorize? So do they want you to, as a wedding officiant, if they had their vows written down and wanted me to give them to them when it was time to say the vows. I've done that. Then, of course, the ring exchange, and that kind of blends into the unity ceremony, whether it's, the sand ceremony or the hand braiding or they plant a tree. I've had them do all kinds of things. They may bring the kids up if there are children from previous marriages involved because they're blending a family. They may do some type of ceremony like that. Another reading, if they want, or you can do some closing, statements about marriage and just, congratulating them. Maybe you need to say immediate family, please stay nearby because we're going to do pictures. So don't take off, that type of thing. Don't head to the bar. Just stay right here for the photos. And then present the newlyweds to their guests and the kiss, and then the recessional. And sometimes they don't even do a recessional. Everybody just, kind of lingers around. The guests stand up, they come forward, greet the couple. If they're not doing like a formal receiving line, they may right away do the signing of the marriage license or that symbolic certificate if it's just a symbolic wedding. And then, of course, the photos and things like that. And then I always had a worksheet for ceremony notes and, talk about, I guess, this is more like if you were doing it domestically, but have they done the, got the license or, started the paperwork or at least looked into, who to get the, where to get the license. Their attendance, who's going to sign their marriage license. And in Mexico, you need four witnesses. Do they want to do a rehearsal? Destination weddings, it's pretty laid back. You don't do too many rehearsals unless the couple insists, and then that's going to be added cost. Usually a tour of the ceremony site, the wedding coordinator will let them know what, the plan is, the process, the processional, that type of thing. Who's going to walk her down the aisle? Any family dynamics you need to be aware of? Maybe groom's parents are divorced, dad's moved on to a younger model, mom is still alone and bitter, and you've got to not only make sure that they're on different ends of the resort, but that hopefully they can come together for one day for their son's wedding, but sometimes they can't. But if you need to know things like that, it's important. And it helps you kind of be a buffer too on things. What readings they want. I had one couple that picked an excerpt from Everything I Needed to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten. Are they having violinists play when they're doing the sand ceremony or something like that? And then, of course, the kids that are going to be involved and that type of thing. So, the ceremony format, the readings, a unity ceremony. It usually candle side, but sometimes in a sheltered gazebo it might work. But the sand ceremony is always pretty popular. The braiding ceremony, the blessing of the hands, and I've had them, couples plant a tree. Maybe they're doing something different, in Cancun or the Caribbean now. But those were some of the things that. Some of my couples did. So you can always reach out to John or I if you have questions. If you have, concerns about, getting involved, you don't have to, but by giving them information, some of this information that'll help ease their, anxiety about how the wedding ceremony is supposed to go. And you can work directly with the wedding coordinator and say, nope, they want to have this, read, or they wanted the ceremony to follow this format, that type of thing. So, and you can always reach out to me, and if you have questions, or I'm always available. I might not answer right away, but I will certainly get back to you. So, I'm pretty much done, John, if you have any questions from the group.
Yes, we've got some right here. So let me switch gears a second, and I'm going to pull the questions together, and we'll go into them right here. Give me just a moment. I'm pulling the screen up for those. And again, folks, thanks for hanging with us today. We did have a little technical problem with Zoom. At one point, they said we were going to end the meeting, and thankfully that didn't happen. So, then thanks for your patience today. That was them, not us. Lisa, one question that came across here. This is from Sally about one of the very last comments you mentioned, which I thought was well spoke, well taken. Even if some of our members might be on with us today and are going through this training with us, they might decide after going through all the certification program that they, now that they know more about being involved more deeply in the ceremony planning, they do not want to do that. They want to stick with just the travel booking. But I thought your point was well taken, that a lot of the information you share today can just be put on a PDF or can be, used to answer questions. If a couple says, well, what does a destination wedding ceremony look like? How is it different than a hometown church ceremony? It's a really good point that this is a lot of information you can still share with your clients and look very professional to them, even though you're not going to be involved in the ceremony.
Yeah, and just knowing some of the key points of a ceremony and the flow of it can help you really come across to your couple that you know what you're doing, that you are encompassing from the ceremony planning to, the travel arrangements, that type of thing. It just makes you look better. And, it's all about building that trust and that relationship with them. So you may bring up things that they might not have never thought about. And, it's always funny. A lot of times they will say, well, we didn't know that. I mean, we've never been married before. That's great. They're going to have questions. But just having a little bit of background knowledge on the ceremony itself will help you help them.
Very good. Larissa had a question about religious ceremonies. Do you know of any resources or places where we can go to learn more specifics about handling Catholic weddings or Jewish weddings?
Oh yeah, let me there's a couple websites. Basically what you do is just Google Catholic weddings in Mexico or Catholic weddings in St. Martin. And you will find a lot of information. The Roman Catholic Church has information on it's a Vatican website. They will also have different lists and looking at the specific religion. But if and it's hard to know all the different religions and what they require and that type of thing. If a couple's insisting on their, having a Catholic wedding or whatever, they probably will know some of the basic information that, about getting married, that, whether they have, been divorced and they have to have the annulment papers, that type of thing. But, and things change too. So, from what I was doing, a few years ago, maybe a little bit different now, but I always ask them to talk with their local priest or minister. And then if they are looking for a destination wedding, but they don't know who to reach out to. Again, that's also a question they can talk to the wedding coordinator about. What rabbis do you work with? Which is another good question, because there may be two or three, and you might not necessarily like one of them after you've done an initial phone call or something, but then maybe you talk to the second one and you really meshed, and yeah, he's the right one. So I would just say, just check your resources, the Catholic Church, the destination, wedding coordinator, on property, things like that. And even maybe just Google some, information on Catholic weddings, to do that, or Jewish weddings, what's involved, and go from there.
Yeah, Larissa, I can tell you we have some members who have experience in both types of weddings, and we've just not been successful in twisting their arms. We want to do a webinar. One member is only does Jewish destination weddings, but she says she's scared to death of, as she calls it, public speaking. So we are working on trying to do some webinars in the future on both topics, Catholic and Jewish destination weddings. So I hope we'll get those together at some time in the near future. It is something we've got on our list to work on. Our challenge has just been finding a member or even a non-member who's willing to speak, and we're still working on that. A couple of folks I think who'd come in later, just to remind you, you didn't hear this in the beginning, but due to some Zoom issues today, we were not able to advance the slides. So some of you said you were still just seeing the intro slide, and that's why. We're going to take the video tonight and match up Lisa's audio with the individual slides. So when the video is posted later tonight or first thing in the morning, the slides will be visible. And of course, on that resources page, we will post Lisa's PDF that has all of her slides. So you can see the wording for everything she was talking about today. And that's going to be posted tonight or first thing in the morning, just as soon as we can do the editing for the video. All right. Lisa, one more question here. This is Cindy, and she says, is there, when your couples are looking for an officiant who's not part of the resort, do you have any suggestions about where to tell them? Should they look for someone in destination, or can they bring someone from home?
Can bring someone from home, and especially if it's a symbolic ceremony, they may have a brother or a cousin that doesn't, have issues with speaking in front of people. They may feel honored, that they were asked to do the ceremony. But that's when you probably would come in with the format and the list and, the questions and things that we talked about today on the webinar, to get the right ceremony format. Again, get it from the wedding department, what they do, and then see what they want to do different. Or they, I don't know if they would just, bring a wedding officiant from home, because of the expense. I don't know of a wedding officiant that would not insist on having their expenses paid, but who knows? The other thing is too, the person, really can be anybody. I mean, it could, maybe they really like the maitre d' at the restaurant. I mean, they could probably ask them too, it just, as long as they could read English, or I don't think so. And I don't know of a list of, people that they could talk to. And again, that's something they would have to ask the wedding coordinator, if there is a list of wedding officiants or justice of the peace that they could actually, get to perform the ceremony, and what their costs are.
Yeah, and we have some members who've done as Lisa's done and gone through officiant training. and gotten licensed or certified to do that. So that's definitely full service. If some of you are interested in doing that, we have members who've done that, as Lisa's done. Well, Lisa, listen, thanks for going through all this. Any final words of advice for us?
Yeah, just the knowledge of knowing the process is going to help your clients a lot. They don't know what they don't know, and just by, being confident and presenting the information and, knowing the difference between a civil and a symbolic ceremony, that type of thing, that's important. But again, it all involves asking your clients, questions, those probing questions that require more than a yes or a no. And, describe what you want your ceremony to be like. Is it casual? Is it going to be very formal? Is it, if it's casual, are they expecting any, religious connotations in it, a prayer or a scripture reading or something like that? Or, obviously, if it's a, true high mass Catholic wedding, the church is going to dictate what happens there pretty much. Just knowing those things. And even if you decide that this is just way more than you want to get involved with, that's okay too. Just knowing that you have this information is good, and you can work with them and the wedding coordinator on site for your couples and, get them the wedding of their dream, and just be there as the go-between. Like I said, the usually you sign the paperwork with the resort and the wedding gets handed over to the couple. But stay in the loop from everything from the ceremony planning to, what flowers are on the table for the centerpieces. Just stay in the loop with that, because if there is a problem, you can jump in and help.
Yeah, as we wrap up here, you're talking about the officiating. They reminded me during one of the DWHSA conferences in Las Vegas. It was either 2016 or 2017. You actually did a real life vow renewal for two of our members who are married.
Oh, that's
Do you remember
right.
that?
Yeah, for Terry and her husband, I
That's
think it
right.
was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. We did a ceremony, and getting to know a couple is so important because it helps you personalize their ceremony, and maybe a funny story, how they first met, what was their first date, how did he propose. Things like that. Just little things that maybe you can incorporate into the, what your wedding message, if you're going to do it. But for those of you who might want to consider getting ordained online, I know I live in Wisconsin, and it's not a requirement for marrying someone to have an official license or anything like that. I even have done weddings down in, in Illinois. I'm right near the border, so I've crossed over and done weddings in northern Illinois as well. And they didn't require, I checked with the county clerk's office that the wedding was going to take place, because that's where the marriage license is going to be filed. And it was, it wasn't an issue. But Universal Life Church, ulc.com or whatever, is the website. And I did this when I was a member of ABC. We were at a conference and they were talking about, well, what happens if you're an on-site wedding coordinator and the priest or the pastor doesn't show up. Well, get ordained and you could jump right in and marry that couple for them. So we all sat around with our laptops and got ordained, and I paid $12 for my certificate at the time. And I started out doing my first wedding was a symbolic ceremony. And then the first time I did a real ceremony, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. I think I called the clerk's office like 7 times. But they were deploying and they wanted to make sure that they were married and, planned on still having their big wedding, when they had actually had it planned. And then I also did that ceremony as well. But and then word just got out. And like I said, in a matter of years, I've done well over 200 weddings, and then offered it as a service to my couples. I mean, the couples really well because you've been working with them several months planning their destination wedding. So, and it seems like the couples that I actually did their marriage ceremony before they left, I have become, like really close to them. I mean, now they're having kids and, we're friends on Facebook and there's a real connection there. When you do a ceremony for a couple like that. So in addition to, the way you usually work with them on a destination wedding, because usually it's about a year long and you get to know people pretty well. And then of course you have those couples that you can't wait till they're on their trip and back and maybe you won't ever hear from them again, which is what you want. So, but it's just an enhancement to what you can offer your couples.
And Larissa posted a couple of sites like ULC. Larissa, thanks for that. I'll put that in the notes as we post everything for today. So, well, listen, we want to say a big thanks to our co-founder, Lisa Sheldon, who, as you can tell, has lived this topic and shared great information today. We're going to have her video that we'll edit in the slides and then the actual PDF of the slides. That'll be posted in the morning at the latest. We'll try to get it up tonight, but in the morning for sure. The final live class will be back with Cherie Ronning on October 7th, and we'll email you a reminder about that. And then right after that, the second week of October, we'll have the three pre-recorded videos. The third week of October, the exam should be ready. We want to go through those questions and make sure everything's still applicable and we've updated any questions. So, Lisa, thanks for sharing all this detail today.
Thank you. It was fun to do this. I've a little out of practice, but I guess, it's like riding a bike. You just get back on and do it. So
Absolutely.
thanks,
Yeah, well, you've
everyone.
lived all this. So thank you again for doing this today. And thanks, everybody, for being here. We really appreciate your time. And we will see you on the next live class with Cherie on October 7th. Lisa, thanks again. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.